What's going on, everyone? Welcome back to Stacking Slabs. This is your hobby content alternative. I'm your host, Brett McGrath. I collect sports cards. I have a podcast about collecting sports cards. Hopefully, you are all having a really great holiday season, and sports cards are a part of it. Every Friday on the program, we talk to a collector, and I got my brother. Yes, we're keeping it in the family. It is the holiday season at McGrath Cards. And instead of unlocking a new parallel, we're going to recap some of the parallels that have come. We have covered 15 parallels. It's been crazy. It's been fun. I've gotten so much feedback. I've seen so many amazing cards. And what I want to do is just talk through them, have a little fun while we're doing it, do a little bracket, put the names inside the hats, pair them up, and see what comes out on the other side. At the end of this, there is one parallel standing tall, and we'll call that parallel the parallel of the year for the Stacking Slabs podcast. That's what we're aspiring to find during this conversation. If you like what I'm doing over here, follow, subscribe, hit all the buttons. Most importantly, tell a damn friend that you're enjoying the Stacking Slabs podcast. The new year's coming here. It's time to just take a step back and enjoy our collections and listen to some conversations. While we do this, let's kick it to it. All right, everybody. We are not completely done with the parallel series. We're going to keep it rolling into this year, but I figured it was a good break point as we're starting the new year to reflect on just all the parallels that we covered and try to determine what is the parallel of the year on the Stacking Slabs podcast. And I'm going to talk about how we're going to do this, but first, I'm going to introduce today's guest is my brother, Kyle, at McGrath Cards. He is typically on during the holidays. We've never done anything quite like this, but we're just going to wing it. Kyle, happy holidays. How are you?
I'm good. Happy holidays to you as well. Good hanging out the other day for Christmas and getting the kiddos together, and excited as always to be on an episode of Stacking Slabs and do this kind of hybrid March Madness / fantasy football draft parallel thing we're going to do here. So appreciate you having me on as always.
Did you survive all the gifts and putting all the stuff together for your two sons?
Yeah, agree. It was a lot of fun. You know, my kids are 4 and 6 nowadays. So it was a combination of still building stuff for the youngest one, had to put together a kitchen set. And then while connecting a switch to the downstairs entertainment system for the older one. So you know, I feel like the day after Christmas should always be like a holiday for parents just to put stuff together and just to clean up the trash and get organized. So thankful to have the next couple of days off to get the house right sized again. But yeah, it was a great holidays with the kiddos as always. How about yourself? Do you have anything to put together on your end?
We're digging through it now. I will say I love being at home with the kids, but I did make the comment this morning that was, I can't wait to be back at work, which
well, and you have the fun too of the newborn who gets a ton of stuff for Christmas that doesn't need anything for Christmas, and then trying to find space for said items that you've received for Christmas. So I think any parent has been in that space and understanding of, yes, it's nice to get the gifts, but in reality, we don't need anything because now I've got to deal with it on the back end.
Yes. And the next step after all of this is moving out stuff that's just been sitting here, because if you don't move stuff, it's just the piles on piles on piles. Okay, so we have covered 15 parallels so far on the show with 15 collectors. What I did here was, for the listeners, I put all of those parallels in a hat, pulled them out, did matchups. So it's like, think about like a bracket style matchup. Now, obviously, there's an odd number, so there is a first round bye. And ironically, I'll call this out right now. The first round bye is the OG of all of these parallels, which is the 92 Topps Gold. So that parallel will advance to the next round. And what we're going to do is we're going to talk through the matchups between two parallels that are just hat picks. And the criteria that we're going to do this through are, we're going to think about the parallel and the legacy itself. We're going to consider the episode and the collector, and just you are the listener. So you're going to probably add some kind of further context that I don't have, just but in in terms of like you listening and being the representative for the audience. And then the final piece of criteria is like the desire to own like a card in this parallel. And you think you might, this would be good to call out. You said this before we hit record, but you said like, try not to have any like personal bias based on like the players we collect and them falling in that parallel or not. So is there anything else based that you're thinking about before we just dive into this? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, thinking about it this morning, I was like, okay, knowing who I collect, knowing the years that he played, try to eliminate those from the influence aspect of this conversation. I would say the only thing that outside of what you touched upon, the three criteria, which I think are great to kind of help ground and level set the conversation is the influence that said parallel had on the cards to come, right? Whether it's design, number scheme, set, etc. I think, you know, there was a lot of parallels that you've covered to date that were the first step in what we saw in later sets that came down the road. So I think that's kind of an important criteria as well to kind of talk through and think through. But other than that, who knows what's going to happen here? So we'll see.
I appreciate you calling that out. And I think that is a good call. And that became evident the more and more I did this. And maybe before we jump in, you, since you are the representative of the listener of the Stacking Slabs podcast in this one, the parallel series itself, like, we don't need to go long on this, but I'm just curious, like, from your end, has this helped kind of open up your mind up to some cards you didn't know and exist, like taught you anything? Like, how would you, like, 15 episodes in, like, what would you say about it so far?
I would say number one, it increased my eBay saved searches that I've got set up now. After, I think the common theme was after each episode is, oh, I got to look up, you know, said players that I collect and do they have cards and get those saved searches set up. I think all in all though, the most important like takeaway from this 15 card review or parallel review so far is just the education of it all. You know, there are certain ones that we hear common in the industry, you know, the PMGs, et cetera. But then there's other parallels that you covered that maybe we didn't really know a lot about that you could go back and do additional research. You could follow said counterpart that you had on to cover it. I think there's a lot of great collectors. And I think the important piece from a hobby perspective is if you're really interested in being involved in the hobby, if you're really interested in being a collector, it's really important just to know the cards that are out there and the parallels that are popular and kind of the historical nature of them all, whether you collect players or teams that fall within those parallels or not. So I think just the educational value of it all in all was awesome because, you know, you can't really do a Google search and understand certain parallels. It's really great to hear that history and the value from the collectors themselves who spent years diving into it.
I love it. We are going to get started and we are going to crown the parallel of the, this isn't my favorite parallel. This isn't Kyle's favorite parallel. This is just the parallel of the year for the Stacking Slabs podcast. So we're starting off with the Galactic Out of Revolution. And we did this episode with Brandon at Mission Street Cards. He's a passionate collector, has sets of this parallel, and it is going head to head versus Ultra's Platinum Medallion. Now, this was Nat Turner's episode, and, you know, Nat's Flickr account is, don't really need to share too much about it outside of it's just completely ridiculous. So, two different eras. We've got more 90s-ish to early 2000s, and Galactic started in 2015 out of Revolution. So, I guess I'll pause there with this matchup. What comes to your mind first when you think about these two going head to head?
Yeah, the first thing was just the difference in eras that they came about, right? It, you know, Nat being the super collector and one that we all would sit and listen to talk about any card in his collection. You know, I think that was such a great episode to get that perspective from him on a card that really came before my time from a collecting perspective. While I've never held one of those cards in my hand, I've never collected a player that has that card, I appreciate the historical piece of it. And then on the other hand, the Galactic, I think, are the ones that for me jumping back in the hobby right before COVID, it was, you know, understanding and seeing that not only from a basketball perspective, but then I know you have collected a lot of the Galactics from a wrestling perspective as well. So I feel like I'm more educated or seen more or held more of those cards, you know, but that's kind of my initial like takeaway from it is having more of that real life, seeing one versus just hearing about the historical nature of the other. What about yourself? I mean, I know you got to sit in with both of those collectors as well. When you saw that matchup come to be, or your some of your takeaways or observations from the two?
So two things. I think one, it is photography versus a design and aesthetic. So with Ultra Platinum Medallion, the focal point is the photography. With the Galactics, it's more of the shine, the aesthetics in the back. So that, like, I think is what you're like thinking about when you're comparing the two of these. Alongside, what's interesting about this, and I didn't think about this until now that I'm talking about it, is the fact that both Nat and Brandon are set collectors. So Nat is has collected the Platinum Medallion set, and then Brandon has collected the sets of this parallel within the basketball product. So that to me stands out. So yeah, we've got to pick one of these. Maybe we do this, like instead of us battling, I'm going to toss this one to you and then I'll do the next one. And we'll just kind of go back and forth.
Sure.
Unless there's a big discrepancy or debate. So you're the decision maker on this between everything you know about these two parallels, who advances to the next round and why?
Yeah. Great episodes by Nat and Brandon. I think both great cards. I think for me, I'm always a sucker for photography and the imagery of stuff. So I'm going to go Platinum Medallion on this one. Galactic's phenomenal. I just know there's a lot of shine still to be reviewed and amongst all the parallels. So I'm going to give Platinum Medallion the win in this round.
I like it. I think that's very reasonable. The next matchup is Essential Credentials. And that episode was with 90s B-ball cards, Jake. And then a more recent episode, which I know this one's near and dear to your heart, the Finest Gold X-Fractor with PK. So again, we've got a two different eras here. We've got kind of mid to late 2000s. And then when you think of Essential Credentials, I think most people think of 90s. So what's top of mind for you on this matchup?
I was hoping this was like the finals match. This is the one where I was like, these are like some of my two favorite parallels that you cover. Dang it, to really have this early, it hurts a little bit. I think that the Gold X-Fractor, you know, and I've talked about this on previous episodes, the 06 Finest is my absolute favorite set. And then to have both Peyton and Reggie Wayne in that set as well. And I own both of the X-Fractor for each one of those players. I mean, those are by far some of my favorite cards in my collection. I think the shine on them, the imagery of it, the gold, I mean, it hits everything for me in a card. The Essential Credential, though, I think is one that is, when I made the influence comment on the front of this episode, I think the Essential Credential influences so many more cards to come that you have reviewed in the parallel from the perspective of the different materials that were made to create the card. I think the numbering schema as well for the now and the futures is phenomenal. You know, I think to really understand that from a serial perspective really means that you're a collector and you care about these cards and the value that that serial number has on this set. And I think it's a set too that crosses obviously basketball and football from an early 90s perspective tremendously well. The desire is there for both. The look and feel of those cards are great. But I mean, if I'm going to National, it's going to be the Gold X-Fractor and an Essential Credential that will stop me to look at what player those are. So I don't know I'm glad I picked the first round that you got to pick this one. But I think they're both phenomenal parallels that, you know, both have a lot of pros and cons associated with them. How about yourself?
I want to spend a second and just talk about the Gold X-Fractors and just when I think about cards in my mind and think about all the qualities that I like out of cards. I think about these gold extractors fit within that based on just the appearance, based on the serial numbering. I love these cards and I love the finest product. And there's a reason why we've covered multiple finest parallels so far. I think though, like the way you described the central credentials, I don't really have anything else to add. Just its influence has been so strong and so powerful. And there's so much prestige that it would, I feel like I'd have to kick my own ass if we had the central credentials bounce in the first round. And I'd probably get a lot of people to completely quit listening to the podcast. So I don't want to say like, we don't know what's going to happen next, but we're going to advance central credentials and say finest, just a tough matchup, like finest gold extractors, tough matchup. I could see him as like a final four opponent if it didn't end up against the central credentials.
I'm with you. I mean, that's the thing. It's like the central credentials. I mean, that's like the godfather of a lot of these parallels. So yeah, that was a tough first round matchup for my gold extractors, but we move on.
Okay. So the next matchup is a battle of the card ladder team, which is completely happenstance, unintentional. We have Topps Gold Extractor or Refractors. That was the episode with Josh versus the Black Finite out of Prism, which is the episode from Chris. I'll maybe start here and
go for it.
Then I'll kick it to you. So the Topps Gold Refractors, I think the thing I like about them is that when I post these episodes and try to get people to share their cards, there's such a far reach with these cards because of the amount of sports that this falls into. 50 is a serial number that is not going to put you over the skis. Usually is pretty affordable. There's a lot of years that player collectors can buy cards in that. So I love how there's just a lot of options, a lot of opportunities, a lot of designs. I think a limitation for me with those cards would be after you collect a run of those players, it's almost like what next? And I have found in myself, instead of just hanging on to those cards, moving those cards so I can go get into something a little more limited. So that's that on Gold Refractors. Phenomenal cards. Can't say enough about them. The Black Finite, I would say like drawback with Black Finite, in any one of one, it's not everyone has a chance to get them because we have certain criteria and it's, you have to fall into the right situation to get those cards. I have been fortunate and am fortunate to own Black Finite of Prism. And I just think like these cards, just the appearance when you hold them, it feels like you're holding something like really, really extra special. Like, you think about the Mosaic Finest, which we'll talk about here in a little bit, but like that, like influence obviously has fallen into the Panini product, and you see that captured in the Black Finite design. So I think like just out of just cool cards that, whether they were serial number to, you know, 10, 25, 50, whatever, I just like love the appearance of the Black Finite. And I will also say, just to anyone out there, if you can't find a Black Finite of a player you collect and you like the Finite look, like 2015, for instance, has like a purple mosaic. I just bought an Andrew Luck card. It cost me like, I don't know, $15 or something, maybe 10, $15. But it's the same thing. It's like the exact same look. It's just like the purple background and the mosaic. So like dig into some of those years. If you can't find the Black Finite, because there's a chance that you can get a similar parallel. So that's what I have to say about that.
No, well said. I agree. I think the Black Finite, I mean, the look and feel of them, just the prestige of knowing that it's a one of one is a cool feeling when you've got one in hand, or when you're a player collector and you see one pop and you go after it. I think from an accessibility perspective, the Topps Gold and being able to span years and not have the feeling of missing out on one, that there could be another one that pops to go. Plus, the gold is always a big attraction for me as well. And quite frankly, I think I prefer selfishly, the gold over a Black Finite if I'm holding them hand in hand, not knowing the serial number or the value of each one of them. So I'm going to lean Topps Gold Refractor in this matchup, but both great episodes by Josh and Chris. Always love when they're on and being able to listen to them. But now we move on to the next matchup.
Yes. Topps Gold Refractor advances. The next one is, I almost wish you had to pick this one because it is a heavy hitter. We have Zan, and he did the Precious Metal Gems episode versus the Superfractor, which is Drake. So PMG versus Superfractor, what comes to your mind?
Yeah, you know, again, like when we talked about the essential credentials, the PMG, that was my, you know, it's always one that you knew about coming into the hobby. You knew the value of it. And then you listen to Zan, you research and you learn more about that set. You really understand how cool of it is between the green and the red. I owned a Jim Harbaugh, the 97, the Jim Harbaugh. For a period of time, I ended up selling it. But for me, having that one in hand, and then you see just the intricate details and designs that you don't really capture on a screenshot when you can hit it in certain periods of light. Again, it's very, from a photo perspective, very focused in on the player themselves. So they pop with whatever background, the green or red they have behind the scenes. So the PMGs are a phenomenal parallel. And I'm glad actually that you waited several episodes to actually get to it, because I feel like that's an easy one that everybody's like, oh, you're just going to cover that one first and then, you know, move on from there. So the Superfractors, on the other hand, again, that kind of falls for me in the black 101s. I mean, they're, again, you see the value, you have them in hand, you know that, hey, nobody else has this. And as a player collector, having that one of one feel is phenomenal. And again, being a Topps Finest fan, I know there's been several super practices that I've seen of players that I collect that I'd give anything just to have that card in hand. But again, it's, even though you're comparing against a PMG, I'm looking at kind of the accessibility of the two. So I don't think you can go wrong either way. And again, glad you're making the pick here. But, you know, Drake's a phenomenal collector. I love seeing what he does. Loved hearing him talk about the super fractures. And I know he has several of them. So good luck making this pick.
I won't belabor this too much, but I will say the Precious Metal Gems, from my point of view, I have a little bit of a disconnect with the volume in the print run of these cards and the price point for which they continue to increase. And so it's like this dilemma I have with, it's always, to me, it's like the price of a player that I collect in 97 PMG, if there's 150 copies in football, say is $2,000. And then, or I could get the super fractor of that card for, you know, around the same, and it's a one of one. And that's where I'm always just like, you know what? Like, I think I would rather have like the super fractor because it's a one of one piece. And I totally get what you're saying about the accessibility. And I know PMGs are highly coveted, but I've just always thought I think they're a little overrated and overhyped by the hobby as a whole. So with that being said, I'm going to piss a ton of people off, but I don't care. So I am putting forward the Superfractor, because I'll tell you what, whenever I sent out the Superfractor bat signal, there is no point that I see in the hobby where people show more pride and are more excited than to share their Superfractor. So we're going to advance the Superfractor.
No, well done.
And we're going to move on.
I think one thing we didn't talk about in the PMG side of it is, and this is just the nature of, I think, the hobby and some of those, you know, bad actors in the hobby, is the uncut sheets and then having to worry about the serial number stamps, right? I mean, that's just, the thing about, you made the comment, like the price of them, yeah, they can be an obstacle for some people to get in, but then to have the stress of, is this a real copy or not? I mean, that would be just gut-wrenching, you know, to get that final confirmation if you're buying a raw of any, just because of some of the underbelly in the hobby. So giving you a little out to the Superfractor helps you kind of not have to go down that road as well. But I think great choice, but a great matchup, again, between the two.
I'm glad you called that out. And I will be honest with you, and I know there are people that I can turn to right now if there's a PMG of a card that I really want to just double confirm. But that fact that there's the counterfeit going on has caused me to not like the card that much more. It's just like pushing me away because I can't imagine spending thousands of dollars on a card and having to question its legitimacy, especially if it's in a slab, especially if it's being sold by a third party platform where you shouldn't have to think about it.
Yep, agree.
Okay, so we're moving on the other side. We just got four there. I mentioned 92 Topps Gold is advancing. So we've got three matchups, and then we should be moving this along. So the next matchup, we've got the Star Rubies, which was John Spur Fan at Tech. That was a fun episode. It was John's first time on, passionate 90s collector. And it is going head-to-head with another 90s parallel. And this was an episode where my friend Paul at Mortal Kombat wore his 24-karat gold Peyton Manning around his neck while he recorded that. So we've got 90s heavy hitters coming toe-to-toe, Star Rubies versus 24-karat gold out of Fleer Brilliance, a one-and-done set. What do you got?
Yeah, the one-and-done set definitely kind of gives that prestige. The 24-karat, you know, immediately I think of the Peyton Manning from that, right? Because there's the 24, and then there's just the regular gold, which would be kind of 99. The next tier. Yeah, that's right. So yeah, you know, I love the one and done. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember anything else having that kind of 24 karat connotation to it from a card perspective. You know, we always talk about the gold and everybody's attracted to gold. I feel like that 24 karat naming schema just kind of gives it a nice little extra added value from that perspective. So man, and then the Star Ruby, I mean, that's the Star Rubies though is another one where it's got a different, correct me, I think it's got a different look and feel across several different years, right? So you almost, I don't know when it actually started, but you see the evolution of it year over year of how it gets fancier. And again, I go to like the influence of how other parallels down the road started to have kind of a similar look and feel. The Star Rubies is one that I think you've got the Flamethrower, right? The Peyton Manning Flamethrower Star Rubies, if memory serves me right.
The bomb.
The bomb, that's the one. But I know you've seen that, and the Star Rubies is a card that I would do anything to get one of those if said player that I would collect had one. So another great matchup between two heavyweights, both phenomenal collectors. They did a great job in their podcast. That's all I've got to say. I'll let you kind of run from here.
I think this is you, right? You're picking this one?
Oh, shoot. I got to pick this one. Dang it. Yeah. So now you got to. All right, now I got to listen to your perspective.
All I'll say is, for me, as I look at these both phenomenal cards, there's a reason why we covered them. I think I like the one and done set component. I like the 24 karat gold. There being 24 copies, it's almost like if less is more is always kind of where I'd fall. But with that being said, obviously Star Rubies, like, those cards are, and the design throughout the years are very, very special. But I would personally lean 24 karat gold, but you're the decision maker on this one. So what do you got?
Yeah. And I think going back to understanding the sets one and done, I love the 24 karat naming schema of it. Seeing the card in person too is incredible to hold and see the light shine. I'll go 24 karat and like your previous pick probably pissed off a lot of folks listening, but hey, that's why we got two brothers doing this.
Okay. So the next we've got the gold prism, Mr. Modest, Danny. He covered that one in a more recent episode versus the most recent episode, which is from Ben Brooklyn, Barry Bright, Finest Mosaic. I love both of these parallels. I think they're both gorgeous in their own respective right, both out of 10. So we've got a 10 versus 10 head-to-head matchup. Finest Mosaics, 2 years of it. Gold Prism, obviously a legacy and a lineage, both of the shiny card, in the shiny card category. Before I select, because this is my selection, I'll toss it over to you to share any commentary, because I know you're an owner, you own cards in both of these.
Yeah. So, you know, this is a great one because I, you know, being a Reggie Wayne collector, right, who played, drafted in 01, officially retired in 2016, but, you know, he didn't play in 2015. So 2014 was really kind of his last year of cards. So when I think of the gold prism, I've got his the initial year of 2012. I'm still missing the 2013. If anybody out there has one and is looking to make some cash, shoot me a note. And then I've got the 2014 as well, which is the Gold Prism, which is one of my favorite. And then the mosaics, I've got both his 2010 and 2011 finest mosaic refractors as well. So I've got nearly all of, you know, his cards for both of those parallels in hand. The Gold Prism, right, is when we think about changing eras to a new era of cards from the Topps era to the Panini era, the Prism and those being the key mark card for any player that you collect is one that I know everybody goes after. And to have that run, and you completed the Andrew Luck run, I think this past year, you know, it's an accomplishment as a collector to have the, if you're going for playing years of every Gold Prism card, I mean, that's an accomplishment in itself. And it's not easy because you mentioned they're out of 10. The Mosaic Refractors, on the other hand, as well, it's they're both out of 10. There's only 2 years. So I like the scarcity of it's just 2 years. And we have a set now in the modern era that's called Mosaic that is heavily influenced by a parallel that came from the Topps Finest sets from 2010 and 2011. So I know where I would lean in terms of my decision on this one. I don't think you can go wrong, but I think this is a fun matchup. And especially as being kind of a modern day player collector, being able to collect cards for both of these two, it's very cool to kind of pull these out and to look at them daily.
I think when you fast forward 20 years from now and you think about what are the most important cards of this era, especially an era where people got back into collecting cards after a long hiatus, the Gold Prism is going to be the card that people talk about. You feel that now. You feel its importance in the hobby now. And it being bought as a status symbol, it being bought as a pride of ownership when you're building out a player collection. When you go start a new player collection, that is like the first card that many collectors covet. And I just like, I think about my personal journey in the hobby and I think about where I'm at now. And I'm not sure there's been a more influential parallel for me personally than the Gold Prism. And so it sucks that the finest parallels get booted to the side in the first round, but I can't sit and watch the Gold Prism sitting on the bench. So we're advancing the Gold Prism.
You know what's been fun about this so far? I don't know if I'm on camera here, but I've got my Zion case. And like when I've got matchups to the two cards, like I've got my 2012 and my Reggie, one of my mosaics, my 2010, you just kind of like pull them out. You can kind of look at them and say, all right, you know, they can't go wrong either way. But it's a personal reflection of the journey you go through, right, to collect cards like this that we're talking about, right? Because you know, it's been fun to kind of listen to all your episodes. I think one of the biggest takeaways is it's not easy finding cards in these parallels that of players or teams, or if you're even trying to collect the set in its entirety. So each one of these is almost like a mini journey to get to be able to have one of these cards in your collection. So yeah, it's kind of been what I've been doing off to the side here, trying to pull some of these out of my case just to look at them as we talk about them.
You know they're important when it keeps you up at night, and certainly
that is true.
Certainly, there's some Gold Prisms that I want and I've never seen. So let's move on. We've got the Cracked Ice. This is an episode with Jordan Northwood's card collector, and the Mirror Platinum out of Totally Certified with Power Wheels, Caleb. Two of my favorite Panini parallels. Two of my favorite. This is you're selecting this. So I'll just add a couple. I loved about the Cracked Ice, how we talked about the atomic refractors and how we talked about what came before it. Because when I got into the conversation with Jordan, when I asked him, I said to myself, you know, like, I figured we're just going to cover contenders because that's what I was thinking about. And then he asked the follow-up question like, hey, can we cover some of the stuff that came before it? And I was like, yeah, let's actually do that. And I'm really glad he asked that question because it gave it, by the end of the episode, it made me like respect the contenders Cracked Ice even much more when comparing it with like some of the Bowman stuff. So I think that's cool. And then with Mirror Platinum, you know, mirrors, I love the certified product in Mirror Parallel. I think the Totally Certified product has a cult following, some of my favorite cards in my collection, Andrew Luck cards specifically, come from the Mirror Platinum Parallel. it's more unique, but like the shine on those cards, like it's hard to beat. So these, like, this is like, for me, these are two of my favorite modern parallels, but I'm kicking it to you. You're making the decision here. So
yeah, no, the Totally Certified Mirror Platinums, and those are definitely chase cards, especially when you understand the different Mirror Platinum. And I think, you know, there's what, a handful of different serial number cards, and they all have phenomenal shine and appeal. And when I think of like the PMG, I know it's been covered previously, right? The comparisons of the PMG and the write-up of, is this the modern day PMG, whether people agree with it or not. But I think just the, when you look at the embossing of it, you look at the shine of it, you look at just the photogenic nature of the player, you can't go wrong with the Mirror Platinum. The cracked ice, when I think of as a player collector, especially in the modern era, two cards, rookie cards I want to own of any player, it would be their gold prism and it'd be their cracked ice, right? The original, the not the variant, but, you know, again, it's got all the feel goods for me as well, from a photogenic design to the shine on it to kind of just that cracked ice lure. So tough matchup. But I'm going to lean cracked ice on this one.
Cracked ice advances. Okay, so that is, we're on to the next round. We're just going to hit it. We've got eight parallels left. We've talked about all of these but one, so we should probably be able to speed along through this. The first matchup, I guess, would be me, because we're just doing round robin. We've got the Platinum Medallion versus Essential Credentials. You know, when we were talking about Platinum Medallion, we talked about the photography, which I'm a big of. Photo guy and cards, but I think what is the most important thing for me as I'm talking about these parallels and its importance is like the influence on other cards and other sets. And it's really hard to bypass Essential Credentials, or at least not advance Essential Credentials to the next round. So I'm moving Essential Credentials forward, unless you have anything, any strong opposition to that.
I'm with you. No, I agree with everything you say on that front.
Okay, so in the same side of the bracket, so Essential Credentials has moved into our, it's part of the final
four. Are they final four? Are they coming in the final four right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Final four. So then in the next side, we've got the Topps Gold Refractor versus the Super Fractor.
Ooh, man, this is my pick too. So Topps Gold Refractor, Super Fractor, both great cards. You know, I love, since I feel like we kicked out our finest parallels and whatnot throughout the original round, you can't go wrong with the Topps Gold. I'm going to go Super Fractor on this one, because immediately the cards that come to mind are some of my finest Reggies that I know are out there, other collectors have, that, you know, I would give anything to have. So let's advance that one there.
Okay. So we've got Essential Credentials and Super Fractors are in the final four. Then we've got the first time we're discussing this, because they got a first round bye, 92 Topps Gold. And I'm going to already state that the 24 karat gold is going to beat 92 Topps.
Yeah, 90, that's a tough matchup for, but to, 92 gold.
No disrespect. I feel like that episode was a good one with Joey, because the reason why I thought it was important was just because it was like, man, we get this opportunity to learn a little bit about like gold parallels and where we ended up. And I like visualized a lot of those cards and remember those cards as the kid. So I'm glad they got a bye. They got a little breathing room before it got punted in the face by the 24 karat gold. But
that was like a Terry Tate office tackle right there. So
yeah. So 24 karat gold advances. And then the final matchup to go to the final four is the gold prism versus the cracked ice. And you're making the decision on this one.
The gold prism versus the cracked ice. I made the comment when I was talking about the cracked ice. It's like the two cards I'd want to have for any rookie would be the gold prism or the cracked ice. I think your earlier comments about when we look 20 years from now back into the hobby on the importance of the gold prism, I think that's just what's going to be, you know, the desired card and just, you know, where the hobby history books are written once that original 2012, at least on the football side of the house, was released. So I'll go gold prism on that one.
Okay. So we've got Essential Credentials and Super Fractor. That's the matchup versus 24 karat gold in gold prism. And so we're going to flip it because I'm just trying to like make sure we're not both like going up against with the same matchup.
Sure.
So you go Essential Credentials versus the Super Fractor.
Ooh, buddy. It's an easy one for me. Essential Credentials. I go back to the influence it's had, the look and feel, the now and future combinations, the players that have cards in that, and what would stop me if I saw it in the showcase. It's an Essential Credential, hands down.
Okay, Essential Credentials is going to the finals. And this one is 24 karat gold versus gold prism. And this is such a challenge because you got the one and done set. Just probably my number one chase card would be the Peyton 24 karat gold. And it's just, these cards are incredible. Just a parallel on steroids to me versus the gold prism. And it's like you're like collecting a run versus like zeroing in and trying to collect, find one card and collect that. And this is really challenging. I think this is where I have to go towards like influence and legacy. And I think you can go into the National and say 24 karat gold. And a lot of people might not know what it is, but you can go in and say gold prism and everyone knows what it is. I'm going to advance the gold prism just because I think it's hard to deny based on all the cards, all the years, all the sports.
Man, so we're down to the Essential Credentials versus the Gold Prism for the 2023 Stacking Slabs Parallel of the Year.
Yeah.
I know you're the host of this show, and I know you're taking copious notes right now. But when you started this, we talked about how are we judging this, right? We're judging it by what? What were your credential or what were your criteria, just so we're level setting going into this final discussion.
I'm glad you came back to this. So the parallel itself, which is just all the elements, the legacy, the appearance, the aesthetics, the episode. So the episode and just like what you learned, quality of episode, and then just personal desire to add. So those were the three criteria. What I'm going to do is, to not be completely biased in this, you are going to select. You're going to select it.
I'm doing it.
You're going to do it.
Oh,
You're going to pick the champ. The guest is.
Wow. This is going to have daggers thrown at me one way or the other from your loyal audience. Either your early 90s collectors are going to come at me with torches bearing, or all of your modern day collectors are going to come at me torches bearing.
This is
a tough one.
This is what I'll say before you select it is that regardless, I think this has been a very, very fun exercise. And anyone listening to this should appreciate just the recap and going through this. This isn't easy. These are all great cards. We're going to end with one and we're going to call it the champion, but there's always next year. So,
yeah, I think, you know, one thing that we kind of lightly touched upon when we've talked about the gold prism and the Essential Credential is the personal kind of the feel good of each one of them, right? The gold prism, I think, is going to be the card that we look at, as I mentioned, when we look back at history in the modern era of collecting. Selfishly, as a collector of a player that has a card in the inaugural set, being able to collect all the years through, whether I want to do playing years and post years, it's an awesome exercise and a fun thing to do as a collector. When I think of nostalgia, when I think of growing up, when I think of you and I collecting cards as little kids and ripping packs on Christmas Day, and some of those players from the 90s, both basketball and football that we idolized and looked after and had their jerseys on, and coming back into the hobby and revisiting all those feel goods of childhood and those cards that we used to seek and players that we used to seek as children, allowed me to re-educate myself on the parallels from the early 90s. And these episodes, I think, have been phenomenal to be able to kind of provide that education and kind of those memories of cards that we either had or admired to have back in the day. And again, while the gold prism will be looked at from the modern day, I think the Essential Credential and the influence that it's had on all cards that have come after it I think is a huge leverage in its favor from picking the parallel of 2023. So while I don't own an essential credential, while I never have, while I wish I could one day, I'm going to have to give the win to the essential credential here for just all of the nostalgia and all of the basis of card building that has come since its creation.
Nostalgia can never be denied. And as you put up that counterpoint at the end, I was like, he's got a good point there. And I think what a great way to celebrate 2023 and close a chapter on it and recognize the essential credentials along with the rest of these parallels. Kyle, we might have started a new tradition here. Hopefully everybody else out there enjoyed this. We'll have to do this again next year.
Right on. Hey, happy new year. Happy collecting going into 2024.
Always enjoy the conversations with the bro. Hopefully you enjoy that format. Maybe we'll get creative this year. Maybe we'll just keep talking parallels. Who knows? I fly by the seat of my pants. All I know is I'm glad you are all here riding alongside with me. You take care of yourself. Take care of others around you. More Stacking Slabs on the other side.